So Sargon of Akkad did an interview where he dropped a bunch of N-bombs and got banned from Patreon as a result. Now a bunch of creators and consumers are leaving Patreon. I guess when it comes to people choosing where to spend their money, they don't like being patronized. Welcome to Cryptonomics, Principles of Cryptocurrency and Investing. Thanks to all those people who are sharing these videos and podcasts and episodes. I see a bunch of people left comments on my last episode on Steam It and they shared it around, re-steaming it. So thanks to all you guys for keeping me going and promoting me and involving yourself in the Cryptonomics creative process. Also thanks to the three young Yorkshire lads who came up to me just 10 minutes ago and asked to subscribe to my YouTube channel and checked it out. Thanks, guys. So, Patreon blocked Sargon of Akkad. I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, all he said was...
This is what I mean about the chat. I just can't be bothered to deal with people who treat me like this. You are acting like a bunch of niggers, just so you know. You act like white niggers. Exactly how you describe black people acting. Look, you carry on, but don't expect me to then have a debate with one of your fans. And you guys can't even act like white people.
What? Wait, what? What did he say? So that's what Sargon said. Even so, it was posted 10 months ago. It was never posted on Patreon. It was on somebody else's YouTube channel. So people are saying that the Patreon staff are digging up dirt. And it's making a lot of creators nervous because they're thinking, what about those tweets I wrote 5 years ago? What if they go through my stuff and find something and ban me?
I'm about to end this man's whole career. Pow. Oh!
So it's got a lot of people thinking, actually, maybe it's not to do with what he said. It's more to do with his politics. Someone getting blocked from a large payment processor because they're politically unpopular. Where have I heard that before?
Saying a week is a long time in politics, it also seems to apply to WikiLeaks finances. In just 7 days, supporters were prevented from having access and making donations, to some extent cutting off the site's lifeline.
Upkeep of servers in over 40 countries. $200,000. Donations lost due to banking blockade. $15 million.
Watching the world change as a result of your work. Priceless.
That's right. In 2010, WikiLeaks released thousands of classified documents from the US government. And as a result, they got their payment streams choked. They got blocked from the US government, clamping down on PayPal, Visa, MasterCard. They had nowhere to go. And it would have worked if not for a pesky kid named
Satoshi Nakamoto.
They were blocked on all sides. Having the server fees and probably some legal fees to have to pay, they went to the Bitcoin community and asked if this could be a possible solution. Basically, bring it on, wrote one poster. Satoshi responded, no, don't bring it on. The project needs to grow gradually so the software can be strengthened along the way. I make this appeal to WikiLeaks not to try to use Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a small beta community in its infancy. You would not stand to get more than pocket change, and the heat you would bring would likely destroy us at this stage. So the WikiLeaks team looked into it. They waited patiently. 6 months later, in June 2011, they started accepting Bitcoin payments and reportedly made a 50,000% profit, which is a nice bit of coin. Looking more recently, in August 2018, we saw InfoWars and Alex Jones get blocked from YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter and other platforms. Many of them around the same time, most of them on the exact same day. So it really looked like collusion between these media companies. And by the way, it's so funny you can use the word collusion so freely, but if you use the word conspiracy, people would be like, oh, you think Buzz Aldrin's faking the moon landing in his basement and reptilian vampire aliens are dining in the White House.
Sell the baby parts. Arrest the reporters that expose for keeping babies alive.
But if you use the word collusion, it's absolutely fine. It goes right past people. They're the same thing. I've seen other channels on YouTube get demonetized, like Psyched Substance.
Please help us, because this really sucks. Next time I log on, I might not even have a channel.
Luke Rutkowski of We Are Change also had his channel demonetized now, I think, years ago. The other day, he said that just appearing in a video on someone else's YouTube channel would cause that video to be demonetized.
Had my name in it, automatically demonetized, took it away, reviewed the video, automatically monetized. Josh, don't put my name anywhere near this video if you want to stay monetized.
Just like with what happened with WikiLeaks and Bitcoin, people are now looking for other sources of revenue. Sargon of Akkad has gone onto Subscribestar. Sam Harris and Jordan Peterson have both left Patreon and they're now accepting credit card payments and PayPal payments on their websites. Peterson is saying that he's going to start a new payment platform.
Lots of time talking to investors and developers about building alternatives to these platforms that seem to be willing to throw their weight around.
I also notice he's accepting Bitcoin donations on his site and he's on BitTube, which is an alternative to YouTube where people get paid when they watch and deliver videos that others watch. Patreon's head of trust and safety, Jacqueline Hart, reached out to YouTuber Matt Christensen to have a discussion with him. Matt sneakily recorded and transcribed the conversation, and it was weird.
Part of this portion of the conversation was also about some sort of ambiguous pressure Jacqueline says payment processors are applying to Patreon to keep them in line. When pressed about free speech, Jacqueline said as a membership platform, payment processing is one of the core value propositions that Patreon has. She said payment processing depends on our ability to use the global payment network, and they have rules for what they will process. When I asked for clarification about whether the Sargon decision was made independently by Patreon or due to some outside pressure, she said definitively it was Patreon's decision. Still, she kept citing payment processors throughout the conversation. I kept trying to clarify if some outside company was pressuring Patreon, and she said she doesn't want to talk about it even though she was the one who brought it up, not me.
Very strange. So there's a YouTuber by the name of Short Fat Otaku, a wonderful name, and he's been rubbing a few facts together, and what he thinks is that MasterCard has this pro-immigration agenda. So basically, MasterCard has so many customers, the only way they can get more customers is by importing foreigners into a country.
MasterCard wants the business of millions of new customers. They wrap this goal in the language of diversity and progressivism by calling it financial inclusion. And then they advocate for the pro-economic migrant, pro-open borders, hard left position that every fucking alt-right conspiracy theorist out there has been raving about for the past 2 years.
So they're going to put pressure politically to increase the amount of immigration. That means that independent media who are anti-immigration are very inconvenient for MasterCard, and they're going to get the pressure. So Mr. Otaku's theory is that MasterCard is putting the pressure on Patreon to clamp down on these anti-immigration pundits. If this is true, the whole thing is kind of hilarious, because if you imagine 10 years ago, there weren't many payment options available, and the whole thing would have worked. This is one of the exact things that Bitcoin was created for. So it's a peer-to-peer network for making payments. And basically, if somebody with political power wants to stop you making a payment to somebody else who has access to Bitcoin, the only way they can do it is come to your house and break your computers or put you in handcuffs. Now, nobody is likely to throw away their MasterCards overnight because they heard of what happened with Patreon. But if this is true, MasterCard is actively making their service less useful. And this is so funny. It's like if you could imagine if Kodak heard about digital cameras and they said, all right, well, we're going to combat this. What we're going to do is ensure that nobody can use our film to process anything but black and white photos. That's the kind of absurdity that's going on here. I really wonder if the execs at MasterCard have planned this out, like they're doing it deliberately, or they're just kind of like cogs in the machine. Or it's like we're all characters in a play. We're all up there on stage, and these actors are pushing things forward into the next act, pushing things into the future, encouraging people to try new options. So what do you think? Is MasterCard involved in a conspiracy? What does this say for the old guard of payment processors? Where do you think payment platforms are going to be in a few years? Thank you so much for listening to Cryptonomics. Thank you for sharing these videos. Thank you for being cool, and stay grateful.